This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
Glabrous is feeling extremely protective now that he's a father.
The suspense reaches new levels as the party crosses a crumbling bridge.
You walk across slowly, tenderly.
Comes upon an intimidating shrine.
In a 15-foot tall spire of centuries-old bones stands the skeleton of a massive armored warrior.
Is taken completely by surprise.
You hear?
The dam breaks open.
What?
What?
And wonders how spooky Halloween would be in Trunau.
Oh boy. Baron? What would Halloween be like in a fantasy world? Yeah,
exactly. What would it be like in Trunau? It's like you're not allowed to dress like an orc.
Yeah.
You're
like,
everyone just dresses up as human shopkeepers.
It's the opposite. It's just like a mailman. Suits and ties, like accountants.
The adventure continues now.
Welcome to Grant's Graveyard, a.k.a. Baron's Boneyard. Now let's talk about Galabras' simply devilish run-in with a griff last episode. That encounter really stuck out to me in a way that most do not. A grand majority of the time we're battling orcs and half-orcs that are motivated to kill us because they want to destroy Trunau and we stand in their way. We also face creatures, supernatural or otherwise, that attack us to defend their territory or in an attempt to sate their hunger. I have never come across an enemy like the Griff. The Griff's aim was not to kill us, quite the opposite. They needed us alive. We stumbled across their disgusting lair and became unwitting participants in their sexual reproduction cycle. Two-legged, soft, warm-blooded surrogate wombs for their offspring. In fact, Griffs are found most often in close proximity to swarms of insects or vermin. This is because they are pathetic predators. Most of their meals scavenge from the gruesome leftovers of the pestilent throngs they follow. The Griff's sole purpose was to thrust their unctuous and ghastly tumescence into our soft underbellies, rending our flesh, thereby opening a door to a newfound home for its eggs. One of the Griffs we encountered found that welcoming home inside our sweet young Galabras. Immediately after the eggs were forced into Galabras, they leached sustenance from his internal organs and sickened him deeply. It's an understatement to assess this situation as horrific. And since I've thought about this encounter so frequently since this recording, I've begun thinking about horror, terror, and things that go bump in the night. Everyone familiar with Game of Thrones knows that the night is dark and full of terrors. Anyone who's read Heart of Darkness or seen Apocalypse Now knows about the horror. The horror. But what is the difference between horror and terror? According to Devendra Varma in The Gothic Flame, the difference between terror and horror is the difference between awful apprehension and sickening realization, between the smell of death and stumbling against a corpse. So, terror is anticipating a terrible fate that lurks around any corner, and horror is our mind's shock at being confronted with the monsters come forth from the shadows. Revulsion also plays a role. And while it accompanies horror, it does not reach full strength until horror has subsided. After the Griffs left, we were beset with the grisly and revolting task of pulling the eggs from Galabras' innards. I just got back from a trip to Switzerland, the home of H.R. Giger. He's famous for his book Necronomicon, a positively vile tome filled with perverted, gothic, surrealist, and nightmarish artwork. The work from this book became the basis of the xenomorph in the Aliens film series. Now, I'm part Swiss-German and also from Dallas, which coincidentally is the name of Tom Skerritt's ill-fated character from the film Alien. So I feel uniquely qualified to speak on this subject. The terror and horror that pulsates from the screen as Alien airs is palpable, thick, and umbrous. Just like Galabras, Gormley, Lork, and Baron, a team of well-meaning explorers thrust themselves heading into the tenebrous unknown. And just like the Glass Canadians, one of the Nostromo's crew is grappled by an abomination whose only aim is to impregnate a warm vessel. In both instances, the character attacked is a man. This is an important distinction that adds a layer of complexity one might overlook on first glance of this horror. Alien screenwriter Dan O'Bannon once remarked, "One thing that people are all disturbed about is sex." I said, "That's how I'm going to attack the audience. I'm going to attack them sexually. And I'm not going to go after the women in the audience. I'm going to attack the men. I'm going to put in every image I can think of to make the men in the audience cross their legs." O'Bannon saw the facehugger's forced impregnation and the chestbuster's violent, blood-soaked birth as payback for the many horror films in which women are attacked by men. As a group of white men, we aren't always cognizant of our privilege. The griff and the facehugger's reproductive process bereaves men of the same patriarchal privilege. This subtle bit of subversion makes this horror much more fascinating to consider. The xenomorph itself is androgynous, equipped with a lithe, feminine body and a huge phallic head. Alien line producer Ivor Powell once said, "It could just as easily fuck you before it killed you," which made it all the more disconcerting. Of course, this is a point of differentiation between the xenomorph and the griff, who could never kill our adventurers. However, it does bring to mind the morphology of the griff wherein commonality lies. Griffs are hermaphrodites. This explains why groups of griffs are always brimming with eggs. Now that we've dissected the horror we faced last episode, we can now fully appreciate the cyclical nature of horror and terror. The griffs are gone and Galabras is safe. Horror has subsided, but it has not disappeared. It lurks in each and every one of our hearts and augments the terror and dread we feel as we delve deeper into the grim, frightful world of Belkson. Who can say what evil skulks in the shadow, always around the corner or beyond the horizon? We cannot, and that is truly terrifying. Thanks for listening to The Ramblings of a Madman. If you're still listening, you must like the show, and therefore you're a prime candidate to do the following. Rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and of course, join the conversation on Twitter by following us at Glass Cannon Pod. Without further ado, here's episode 25, Assassin's Creed.
So we started recording a couple minutes ago, and for the first time ever, we actually stopped and said, "Nope. No, no, we got to start over," because here's the question, and I think you should tweet in your thoughts on this. Joe said, Baron, can you check out that bridge to make sure that it's safe to cross? Because I had mentioned to them that this bridge seems thinner, at least in width, than the first bridge that you passed over coming from the chamber with the shadow rat swarm. That was what Joe said seconds before.
Oh, yeah, Joe also said that he thought we would fall into the spider webs. Like, it's all spider webs underneath.
Right, there. On either it side like of the bridge situation is like through. A, you know, webbing like you would see at a baseball game, basically, covering, you know, that would save you from falling in the water, but you'd be in a web if you fell off. So Joe was a little nervous about that, brought that up milliseconds before Grant was going to continue his meticulous stone search of every crack and crevice. I then was going to award Joe a bottle cap for coming up with the idea, even though without Grant, he would be useless.
Sure. I don't have that stone cunning.
Grant then punched Joe in the face. Am I remembering this correctly?
My mic fell off of the boom. Fell,
right. And then Joe jumped over the table, knocking beer everywhere. Matthew is unconscious right now, by the way. We need to get some smelling salts because he's unconscious. And Skid has left the podcast forever.
Do that one more time. I could.
This is Sparta!
So, I do have to say, at least, I actually don't think any bottle cap should be rewarded for wanting to check a narrow bridge over a pit of spider
webs. Please don't give him more reasons to not give bottle cap. Just like, take the bottle cap.
You know what, you're right. I'll take
it. No, it's your bottle cap.
Well, the reason I thought it was insightful is because you guys walked over that first bridge not thinking too much about it, and I gave you a little bit of flavor that there's some webs and stuff like that, and I thought it was insightful. So I think that bottle cap can only be used in a situation that benefits both Baron and Lork.
Wow.
Just because
it might take a while,
but just because that's fun.
Yeah.
And okay, you can explain to me why it would benefit Baron and Lork. So that's going to be a team bottle cap. And you know what? Baron and Lork, they've learned to work together. They've learned to put their half-orc and dwarf differences aside. But can they learn to use bottle caps together? Find out next week.
The true question.
So yeah, what did we learn?
What did you learn with, what did you end up rolling on stone cutting?
19.
You noticed that if any two of you were to be adjacent to this ravine in any way, there would be a landslide. and you would most likely fall into the webbing.
How deep is the webbing? Have we been able to ascertain that?
How deep is the web? How deep is... the webbing is probably about 5 feet down or so. Maybe about 10 feet down, but you would say the drop is 20 feet down all the way to the water rushing underneath. How deep the water is, you don't know.
I'm not a climber of any sort. Is there any, like, silk rope tied to one side we could do just in case someone falls over, or just walk one at a time?
I think if we do...
Am I understanding this right? We're supposed to walk one at a time over the bridge.
Right.
That's the idea? You said get adjacent to it. Does that mean if we're at the edge, it's going to collapse?
Or on the bridge? Long story short, if you walked one person at a time, you'd probably be okay.
Okay.
Probably.
So one person can get over there and get picked off by another griff?
Yeah, so Lork...
That's what I'm hoping.
Lork will be happy to stay back and wait for everybody else to cross and hold a rope while that person crosses, just in case it goes down.
Okay.
You can arrest their fall.
You're going to brave the bridge by yourself, Zelda.
I was going to leave him back. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Now, are you going to cartwheel across? Moonwalk?
Lork's cartwheeling days are over.
Skip? Sasha.
I don't skip. Who wants to go first? I mean, I guess I can go first and bring the rope and then hold it in the other side.
Who weighs the less? What do you guys all weigh?
I think Gormley's probably the lightest.
Yeah, Lork is probably 230, I would think.
Gormley can also fly.
Gormley can fly, but I don't want to waste that now.
I'm 170.
He's 262 pounds.
Lork is 262?
Yeah.
It's top heavy.
That is big.
So flying, real quick, you get like a X amount a day, and you can use it in increments. You don't use it all at once when you fly once.
At my current level, my flight hex only gives me one levitation per day, but it's for the number of minutes equal to my level.
Got it.
Okay. In later levels, I'll be able to use it in 1 minute increments.
Yeah, don't use it now. You're right.
Okay, yeah, so I will...
push Gormley out onto the bridge?
No, I think what I'm going to do... Lork is going to stay back on this side. And because if the bridge falls, we want to be able to pull back, toward the town side. So he's going to wait for everyone to cross. Then he will cross.
Okay.
Once everybody's over.
Who's going first and solo, I'm assuming?
I'll go first.
All right, Galabras. Galabras shimmies across.
Blood dripping from the middle of his chest, starting to well up underneath his chainmail as the wound heals.
I'm going to do a perception check when I get to the other side.
Sure.
20. No, 19.
19? You walk across slowly, tenderly. You get to the other side. You roll a 19 on the perception check.
Yep.
And all you see is... little bat flies by, and I think it was wearing your glasses.
Oh, no. No.
It starts sucking at your teeth.
I do not acknowledge my stork children.
Who are you, Steve Jobs?
Yes, you don't
Terrible
see...
Terrible father.
With the exception of your stork children, you don't see anything else. But you do make it across safely. Who's next?
Gormley or myself, probably.
Go ahead, Baron. That way you can protect Galabras if something happens.
All right, I cross.
He's the big die.
17.
It's like a bowling ball. Okay, you get across, and everything seems to be okay.
Gormley will go next.
Gormley.
9.
Everything seems to be just fine.
This seems great. And then Lork is just going across solo.
How are you walking across?
Lork is going to run across. He's going to try to sprint.
Roll a perception check.
12.
And everything seems to be just...
I hate this.
Just fine.
So creepy.
But Galabras, rolling over his 19 before, happens to notice that the webs are... moving ever so slightly.
All right, let's move. Let's go.
Spiders.
Let's just go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
So the moral of the story is...
we've moved quickly down into the...
Seems like it was a good idea to go one at a time.
Yeah.
Aha. Okay.
All right, so we'll move as quickly as we can down into this cave that's narrower and goes downhill.
It starts to slope ever so slightly downward. It's a slow slope. You walk into the next chamber. And as you go in... you notice that it stays level with the area 20 feet above the water, but there are stone stairs sort of carved into this cavern that lead down deeper, maybe another 10 feet down. So it's kind of like a sunken living room, if you can imagine that, where around the circumference of the room, it's raised up to the level that you're on. But as you enter the room, you notice there are certain stone steps that lead 10 feet deeper into the chamber. Hmm. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So whereas the ceilings were 20 feet high before, now they go up to 30 feet high if you were to be down on the bottom of this chamber. The steps are the least interesting part of this room. You've got these ledges and stairs carved into the stone walls of this wide-open, high-ceilinged natural cavern. Embedded in a 15-foot-tall spire of centuries-old bones stands the skeleton of a massive armored warrior.
Whoa.
And you can tell from the way that it's interred, it wasn't like, mummified or, given any sort of preservation. Like, the flesh has rotted off its frame. But the skeleton still stands tall, proud, and regal amid the trappings of battle and mounds of gleaming treasure at its feet.
What?
The skeleton's battered half plate and scarred helmet hint at its many battles before it came to rest here. And in this warlord's hands are clenched around a massive stone hammer. And you also notice that beneath his helmet, a thick, round rock has been embedded in one of the skeleton's otherwise empty eye sockets.
That sounds like a detect magic thing.
Everyone get a clear picture of what this is?
No, how big is it?
Yeah, this is
15 feet tall.
15
So it's a giant...
15 feet if it's a yard.
It's a giant-sized figure. It's not a human or...
No, it is a...
It's a giant.
A giant skeleton.
That was wearing armor, wielding a stone hammer.
Battered half plate, helmet. Stone in one of its
had a
skull
stone
eye sockets.
Now,
and it's wielding in both hands, like frozen,
like a worked stone, like a smooth stone in its eye socket, or like a damaged eye socket with a rock shoved.
Some sort of geode that doesn't belong there.
Okay.
And
how big is this room?
Its hands wrapped around a gigantic hammer. The room itself, and I'll lay out the map in a second, it's pretty wide. It's the largest cavern you've been in so far. So if you imagine, like, it's similar to the room you were just in. So 60 feet, I'd have to measure it once I bring the thing
out. Does it seem like the tomb of something that once lived, or does it seem like a fucked up necromantic trap that this guy just comes to life when people come in, and that's why all the treasure's here?
good question.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something you just pick up on.
Is it a knowledge fucked up traps?
Yeah, do you guys have knowledge fucked up traps?
Can I do a knowledge history on it?
So, wait, I want to address Grant's question.
I'm just wondering if those treasures look like the amassed fortune of a warlord versus just like people who end up here unluckily.
Just to give you so this area here is the lowered area, and these are the ledges that are 10 feet above this area. Stone steps leading down, yes? This is all water up here, and this is small.
So there's only two sets of stairs down. The three of the... ledges or two
Three
of the
ledges,
ledges in the distance
to walls
they don't have and they're sheer walls down to the lower level,
right? And on the far end of the cavern it goes out into another room.
Okay.
Can
I look for tracks of the people we're pursuing?
Well, let me go back to Grant. You asked me, and we're going to walk through these one by one, Grant and then Gormley and then Lork. Baron, what was your question?
Basically, if it seemed like this person was a real living thing at one point and this was a burial place, or if this seemed...
Roll a perception check.
Okay. 14.
It seems like a monument.
Okay.
What was your question, Gormley?
I wanted to do knowledge history on the guy.
Okay.
15.
This is like nothing you've ever seen before in your tiny cave away from society. Lork, what was your question?
I wanted to try to see if... we see any tracks of our quarry.
You want to know why I'm not going to let you do that?
I don't know why.
Because you see figures in this room.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Who needs to look for tracks when you see where the tracks end?
Oh.
On the near to where the this ossuary-like spire of giant bones rests in the middle of the room, you see two dire wolves skulking around, like sniffing. And then on the far side of the room, you see a figure frantically searching the walls and looking in cracks and crevices. And as you enter the room, he turns and looks at you, and you can see him from that far away. And the first thing you notice are significant facial tattoos.
Scream!
Roll for initiative!
Oh, shit!
Oh, you.
He's right here.
Wow.
We need some Screed music.
Yeah.
Those are very large direwolves.
Yup.
How big are the direwolves?
The direwolves are large creatures, so they are wolves the size of... I mean, they would come up to the shoulders of the giant that you fought in the...
Jesus.
A couple episodes ago. These are huge. These are bigger than, like, Game of Thrones direwolves. Okay.
How tall is this room? How tall is the ceiling?
The ceiling's 20 feet high, and the statue is 15 feet high. Wait, did I say 20 feet high? No, I guess it would be 30 feet high. The ceiling's 30 feet high. On the ledge, it's only 20 feet high, but the ledge goes down 10 feet. So if you're down in that bottom part of the chamber, it's 30 feet to the ceiling. Okay. And the statue, not statue, this corpse, is 15 feet high, so it takes up half of the room. Oh, boy. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I think we should all be pretty nervous. And let's talk about initiatives. Who rolled? Anybody over 30? No 30s? 29. Okay. Anybody over 20?
19.
Oh, man.
For Lork.
19 for Lork.
18 for Gormley.
18 for Gormley.
18 for Baron.
18 for Baron.
And my bonus is a plus 9 right now.
Oh.
Whoa, that beats mine. How'd you get plus 9?
Gunslinger's initiative gives me an additional plus 2.
Whoa, for the first time.
With a grit point.
And Galabras, negative 4?
17.
Oh, wow. So it goes Lork, Galabras, Baron.
No.
No.
What did Baron get?
No, I'm last.
Oh, you guys got 18.
Yeah. What'd Lork have?
19.
Yeah, I go last.
Oh, man, Galabras rolls a 17. You guys took his good initiative.
Give me a bottle cap.
Fellas. Okay. It is Screed's turn.
Please tell me Screed rolled a 29. That'd be pretty great.
Anybody over 29? Okay. This is extremely nerve-wracking. Screed pulls something out of his pouch, and you see him drink something. And then he moves up behind the statue. I keep calling it a statue. It is... a skeleton that is like posed.
I'm going to put a guess out there at Rage Potion. That's my guess.
Could be.
Lork's turn.
Screech, show yourself, you coward!
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't see you through the... I'm going to shoot your wolves.
I'm going to do... I'm going to... I'm going to go with... I'm going to do a rapid shot.
And you guys are... give me a distance for everybody. How far are you away? You're pretty far. You guys came down this very thin cavern.
Yeah, about 50 to 60 feet from the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to... I'm going to fire twice at the closest direwolf.
Okay.
To me. First shot... 14 to hit.
And mind you, the wolves are, they're flat-footed AC because it is the first round,
right.
And you're catching them unawares. So you said
14.
That is a hit.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Nice. 4 points of damage.
Okay.
And then I'll shoot at him again. Natty 19.
Hit.
That hits. And 8 points of damage.
Wow. All right, so you just like...
put 2 arrows in him, 12.
You and I have to have a conversation. Why are you talking to the wolf like that?
Use your words. All right, Baron.
So... I'm going to, I think, light my grenade. My fuse grenade. And I am going to see how many rounds it takes first before I say what I'm going to do. But I'm thinking about holding an action. One round. So I guess I'm going to throw it. Kind of want to land it on top of that giant sculpture and see if I get all of them. But I'll throw it at
the treasure.
The wolf that Joe just shot. And how far away? That's 60 feet. So how many subtractions am I going to take against what I do?
60 feet. It's in
10-foot increments?
10-foot increments.
So
after 10 feet, so it's minus 5.
Minus 5, okay.
Total.
You notice this room is in the shape of Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Curious.
Curious.
Baron will shine.
Baron will shine in this encounter.
Ooh, I rolled an 18 to hit.
18 to hit the one that Lork was firing at?
Mm-hmm.
Flat-footed. That is a hit.
Nice.
Excellent. Big target. Man, your range is awesome that you can take a minus 5.
2d6 of bludgeoning damage and 1d6 points of fire. So,
Oh, jeez. Oh my god. Hey, it's intense, man.
But now our listeners are deaf. You have the deafened condition. Our
7 points bludgeoning, 2 points fire.
Wow.
And 10-foot radius burst. So if anyone's within 10 feet, I don't think so.
Just out of range.
Oh, and they get a reflex save for 15.
For the fire damage to make it 1 instead of 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Made it. Gorm Lee. Love how you guys are just standing your ground up in this tunnel like, fuck. oh, by the way, to your right, you know, what's blocking the water, now you're on level with the water, are just like stones, like a stone dam to your right.
Okay.
From flooding this cavern.
Got it.
Makes sense.
Bro, let's just take out the dam and run.
Damn.
Gormley's gonna hold.
Hold. Gormley is delaying her action.
Oh man, I need some more summon monsters. That's what I need.
Gull-ab-roos.
Galabas, I'm gonna cast Shield of Faith on myself.
Nice.
Actually, you know what? I made a mistake. Can I go now? I'll hold until after Galabras and go.
As is tradition, yeah. All right, so Galabras, you're casting Shield of Fate, and I'm assuming you're not moving, yes?
Yeah, I was there.
You're going to stay back there. Okay, buddy.
All right, I'm going to cast Web. Do I have to cast it on a creature, or can I hit the object and create that, make that the center point of the web? The 20-foot radius.
Look under target on the spell. Doesn't say, isn't there a...
Does not say.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a target spell.
Oh, so you're just casting it on a... Aaron. Point in time.
And yeah. I guess they get probably like reflex
saves.
They
get a reflex save.
Yeah.
But then it becomes... All right, let me just read it to you. Web creates a many-layered mass of strong, sticky strands. These strands trap those caught in them. These strands are similar to spider webs, but far larger and tougher. These masses must be anchored to two or more solid and diametrically opposed points, or else the web collapses upon itself and disappears. Creatures caught within a web become grappled by the sticky fibers. Attacking a creature in the web doesn't cause you to become grappled. Anyone in the effects area when the spell is cast must make a reflex save. If the save succeeds, the creature is inside the web but is otherwise unaffected. If the save fails, the creature gains the grappled condition but can break free by making a combat maneuver check or escape artist check as a standard action against the DC of this spell.
Yeah, so you won't be able to cast it on the statue because it needs two different points. So you can cast it on between the statue and...
statue
really
and the wall,
two
probably.
Points, and this wall is 10 feet up, so you can try and do... either one of the direwolves. You can like do from statue to wall for direwolf 1 or statue to wall for direwolf 2. But just casting it on this itself, all you're going to do is trap the skeleton.
Okay. So yeah, I'll trap the direwolf that we haven't hit, so between the statue and the wall.
Okay. So you're going to just blah, 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 cast web, and you're going to try and create a web between the wall and this giant skeleton. Okay. So it's going to be, I'm assuming, a reflex save.
It is a reflex save.
For the wolf. That just
DC 15
just saved on Barons. Let's see, and it saves.
Okay, so it is in the web, but is not grappled.
It's not grappled, and there's a web there now.
There's a web there, and it's difficult terrain.
Hopefully someone has agile feet.
It also
to get through that difficult terrain.
Nobody has it.
It also provides cover if you have at least 5 feet of web between you and an opponent.
Okay, and last question is how long does it last?
10 minutes per level.
All right, so that's lasting until you say you don't want that to last anymore. Okay. Curious move by Gormley. So wait, now the one, he's not entangled in it, but if he tries to move, he's fine. There's the web's there, basically.
The web's there, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a 20-foot radius. Well, yeah, that's what, I'm just confused about how this works. But let's
yeah,
move
I mean,
on.
It's basically he's not in it, but there's web all over here. So you've created between that chat, between the statue and the wall, a bunch of webbing, but the direwolf is not caught in it.
Yes. There we go.
But he has to move through it at half speed.
It's kind of like he casts like an ice thing on the floor or something. Like it just fucked up to move through now.
Like one of the X-Men. Okay, so now it is one of the direwolf's turn.
Oh, I'm also going to move up six squares.
Up into the room?
Along the ledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This direwolf rushes at Lork. It has a lot of movement. And it attempts to bite Lork. And misses. The second one, seizing on the opportunity, goes up the ledge.
Oh, God.
And still has room.
It can just jump up the 10 feet. That's so badass.
Yeah, they're pretty spry.
I think it has to make a check to get out of the web, even though it's not grappled. It has to move through web spaces.
Right. It goes so it moves at half speed.
Well, no, it says it's if anyone moving through the webs must make a combat maneuver check or escape artist check as part of their move action with a DC equal to the spell's DC.
Okay, so in
and
order
you
to
fail, you become grappled.
In order to get out of this web, it's going to try and jump off on the jump up the ledge. If it fails, it's going to be stuck in the web.
Right.
If it succeeds, it's going to bite you. all right, so it is a CMB check
or escape artist.
16
passes.
Okay. Jumps up, tries to bite you, and 15
misses.
Mage armor.
Yeah. I don't remember hearing you cast.
Round two. Screed's turn. Screed comes out.
I'm coming out.
Out from behind the statue. And throws a bomb at Lork.
Shit.
In melee combat, though.
Hey, wait a minute. Did he light it? Did he use a move action to light it?
Doesn't have to.
Okay.
Not this fellow. Not my
bastard.
Bony. Not my bony. So throws... and misses.
Nice.
But it is a bomb.
Tis a bomb.
Oh no. So the bomb misses and lands on Baron's space. And so Baron, Lork, and Galabras have to roll a reflex save.
Screed.
I failed.
DC 15.
Exactly 15.
Galabras.
I'm going to cast Bull Strength on Lork.
No. It. Yep.
Yeah, you have to roll a reflex.
Oh, sorry. I was reading.
It threw a bomb, missed Lork.
You've been burned alive.
I failed.
All right, so Lork and Galabras take 5 points of damage, splash damage. DJ, splash damage.
what does that do for me?
You passed. You take no splash damage. Get out of the way of this bomb. All right, and it is Lork's turn.
Screed, what are you looking for?
Drops his bow and draws his masterwork battle axe and attacks this direwolf. 17 to hit.
17 to hit the direwolf hits.
10 points of damage.
That Direwolf is not a happy camper. And that was a great axe?
Yeah.
You just like...
right notes. Very sad.
Gushing blood. Baron.
Baron's going to take a quick step to his right, and he...
Step to the right.
...is going to get up close and deadly with this wolf.
-4 to attack.
18 against touch.
Hit.
And then... 6 plus 3 is 9 points of damage.
And the direwolf falls.
That was quick.
Its body blocking the stairwell leading down.
Keeping that last grit point.
All right, Galabras.
Bull strength.
I feel nice. Like I feel like you already cast that. All right, so you're casting bull strength on?
On Lork.
On Lork.
So just to be clear, bull strength gives Lork +4 strength, which means +2 to hit and +2 to damage with melee attacks.
Yep.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Would you, if you could use your composite short bow, would you get the bonus on that too?
No, because the short bow is designed to do +3 strength.
Oh, okay.
If your strength goes up, it still does the same amount of bonus damage.
You have to get a new crossbow. Gormley.
All right. Gormley.
Really pronounced the hell out of it that time. I love it.
I'm going to propose an action here that might be considered daring.
Guys, he's going to propose.
Too late. Gormley's going to try to acrobatics check to move around the direwolf.
What?
And double move to slide down into the webbed area.
Whoa. So you're going to go around it, so it's going to be 2 acrobatics checks.
2 acrobatics checks?
Yeah.
Just move through the square would be one, right? Oh, but then he had an attack.
Yeah, he's a large creature.
It's a large creature. Yep. So, man.
You know what? First, rather than double move, I'm going to cast Ill Omen on the direwolf.
You also have to
do a concentration.
Do a concentration check, yeah. DC 15 plus, what is it?
I get
double the spell level?
Well, my concentration is a +6.
Yeah, but the DC, what's the DC? It's,
I think the DC is 15 plus, to cast defensively, it's 15 plus double the spell level. So what level is the spell?
1.
So it's 16, DC 16.
DC 17, you said 15 plus double the spell, so it'd be 2 plus 15.
Oh, I was doing 1 times 2. Okay. Oh, I guess it's 2.
You mean 2?
You mean 2.
It's a 22 on the concentration check.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. All right, now I'm going to try to... You want me to do 2 acrobatics checks to
Let's
get
start
to get
with
around
the first
it?
One. Right. Wait, but you cast Ill Omen, which means I have to roll twice?
You get disadvantage for your next d20 roll.
Well, he gets a save on that, right?
No, no save on Ill Omen.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's Joe's favorite kind of spell.
That is a good spell.
That is a good spell.
Okay, so what was the first one?
16 on the first acrobatics check.
It failed.
So all right, so
it
gets
attacks you. And this is its Ill Omen roll.
Yeah.
17.
That hits exactly.
But now I have to roll twice. Natty 20.
Oh. Well, you have to take the 17.
You have to take the 17, yeah.
You don't take... You don't re-roll and automatically take the second result. It's, you take the worst result.
The
worst
that's result. Not actually. Well, the reason he asked is because that's actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's like you re-roll and you have to take the second roll, but I doubt that's
what. Wow.
Okay.
All right. So
the less favorable.
The less favorable. All right. So it hits. And it just tries to bite you. Don't try to get past me. It can't talk. 9 points of damage.
Ouch. So then, do I get to move through?
You do not.
If it fails,
you land. You stay right in the space that you originally tried to get through.
Ouch! That would have been daring. That would have been so daring.
It would have been. I was ready to go. I had.
It was daring. It happened.
It would have been.
It was
daring.
You tried it.
Yeah.
I dared and was bitten for it.
Right.
Once bitten, twice shy. Okay, and it is the. You killed one of these, right? Yeah, it would have been the dead direwolf's turn, but instead it's the one that just bit Gormley. And it is still this round, so it still takes Ill Omen.
It doesn't.
No? It's only the next
D20 roll.
Oh, boy. Okay, so...
that's why it doesn't get a save.
So here we go. Trying to bite Gorm's 16.
Misses.
Nice. Mage armor. Okay, round 3. You hear... the dam breaks open.
What?
What? Huh?
And a flood troll emerges.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
what?
Oh. Right next to us.
Right next
and
to you guys.
And it's split between Gorm...
Oh, shit.
So it's Direwolf, Gormley, flood troll, then the rest of us. So Gormley is trapped between a flood troll and a direwolf.
Oh, this is horrible.
Tale as old as time.
Oh, man.
Oh,
tale as old as time. Trapped between a flood troll and a direwolf.
That old adage.
That old children's tale from the sea.
The dam breaks open, and you see that that water was only like 1 to 2 feet deep, so it just kind of trickles into the room and starts going down, but it's not doing any damage. And then you think to yourself, had you fallen into the ravine, the water wasn't going to break your fall. You would have taken 2d6
straight up
damage.
Fall damage.
So the water just kind of trickles in. Maybe there used to be more water in here, or they were planning for something else.
And I think the deal with flood trolls is that if they're in contact with water, they're able to regenerate any damage dealt to them, unless it's by acid or fire.
Sounds just
so glad I used burning hands on all those shadow rats.
Well, that's a first level spell, right? You can do that at, like, you don't have to predetermine your first level spells.
But I can cast it more than once a day?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. How many spells can you cast, first level spells can you cast per day?
Four, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of our house rules is once you start casting another level of spells, like, oh, now you're third level, you can cast second level spells. You don't have to prepare your first level spells anymore, because it gets annoying to be like having to prepare all these low level spells. You have to prepare your highest level of spells in advance, but all your spells lower than that, you don't have to prepare.
But so can I cast them as if they are cantrips? Or I can cast them
not as cantrips. You still use the spell slots, you just don't have to prepare them.
Okay. You use the spell slots, but you can cast the same spell twice, but it uses another slot, so.
Okay.
The flood troll flanks Gormley.
Oh, this is a nightmare.
And just before it claws you, you're like, this thing looks really familiar.
Yeah.
And it attempts to claw. It took a 5-foot step, so it can do 2 claws. First claw misses. Second claw, natty 20.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot about the flanking bonus, but to confirm. Does not confirm. Does not confirm. All right, so just hits you for 4 points of damage.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Whew. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, no shit.
Worse. Could be worse.
Like if it had hit twice. Okay, and now it is Screed's turn. Screed, yet again, throws another bomb at Lork's direction, favoring this half-orc. 20.
Hits.
Hits for 7 points of damage. And then the other Baron and Galabras need to roll a reflex save.
25.
You're okay.
16.
You're okay too, Galabras.
All right. Nice.
Now, Lork, you need to roll a reflex save as well.
11.
Oh, man. Lork, you take another 4 points of damage as the bomb explodes on you and you catch fire. Lork. That Lork is on fire! but you're on fire. And it is Baron's turn. I'm sorry, it's Lork's turn. I couldn't see him because he was a flaming pyre of a man.
Yeah, fuck this, man. I'm just going to die. I don't care. He's going to go and attack the flood troll.
You don't want to try and put the fire out?
No, I'm gonna die. I don't care. I'm gonna attack the flood. Fuck you, Troy. I'm killing your flood troll. He's my favorite enemy.
Don't you get an automatic check to put out the flames?
Yeah, you can. You have to spend the round putting out the.
Nope.
You're just.
I'm attacking my favorite enemy and trying to save Gormley.
Okay.
And so I'm charging and flanked and favorite enemy and bull strengthed.
Here we go.
Into insane numbers.
Get your calculators out.
And I will do a power attack. 34 to hit.
Miss!
Just barely hit this giant target.
10 damage.
10.
That's minimum, by the way.
That's minimum. Oh, that's minimum. No! Damage. Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it's higher than that. Because of bull strength. 12 damage.
12 damage. All right. And you take 4 more points of fire damage. Selflessly trying to save Gormley's life. Baron!
Flames just licking off him. He's like, rah!
Just jump in the water.
Can Baron do a quick perception check, considering he's been on fire himself before, to see if those look like the same kind of alchemical flames on Lork that was on me?
Sure.
22.
Okay, so what you notice is this dude is definitely working with alchemy, but you don't get the sense that this is the same rudimentary nonsense that caught you on fire. You feel pretty confident that Lork could just put himself out or jump in the water.
Cool.
And also, Lork, I forgot about catch fire. Basically, the way catch fire works is when you're caught on fire, every round, you've got to roll a reflex save. But it's not a standard action. You just have to do it to try and put yourself out.
Oh, okay. I thought I had to give up my turn to do it, and I wanted to save Gormley.
I mean, so it's definitely more flavorful the way you did it, but you can also not take that.
Fiery orc is running through.
That's a madman.
Roll an intimidate check.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a troll. Yeah, sure. He's got to be troll. Scared of fire, so.
All right.
I hug him.
Yeah,
it's
like,
just
take my fire.
So I think you took 4 points of fire damage, right? So roll that reflex save for the hell of it. See if you actually take it. DC 15.
All right, DC 15. 15.
Hey, all right, so you are no longer on fire.
Oh, wow. All right.
So give yourself 4 hit points back.
Okay.
And I apologize that I'm the worst DM ever.
If Joe had stayed on fire long enough, he would have looked like Nelgrith or whatever the red-skinned orc god is that they all worship.
Oh, wow. Third-degree burns. Oh, blood god.
You can go as Nelgrith for Halloween. Okay, Baron, you're
true
up.
Now in Halloween.
Oh, boy.
Baron?
What would Halloween be like in a fantasy world?
What would it be like in True Now? It's like you're not allowed to dress like an orc.
Yeah. Everyone just dresses up as human shopkeepers.
It's the opposite.
Dress up as mailmen. Like suits and ties to like accountants.
Financiers.
I'm a naughty shopkeeper.
Yes.
Baron,
I run a hedge fund.
I'm a sexy haberdasher. All right, Baron.
Baron's going to get at a diagonal 20 feet away from the troll. So that he can shoot it.
Ah, all right. Now you are. It's not that it matters. Your thing is so high, but it is a -4, obviously, whereas melee.
14 against touch.
14 against touch is a direct hit.
Yeah.
On who?
Yeah.
On the troll.
Troll.
Ooh. Well, wait. Did you take -4?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
That is. What did I roll? 5? That's 6.
6 points of damage to the troll. Galabras, did you have to move to do that, by the way, Baron?
Yeah, I took like a little whatever makes me 20 feet away. So I don't
cool.
take
so you don't get to move again. Galabras, you're up.
I'm.
What do you do? What do you do, Galabras?
Galabras moves close enough, within 20 feet of Gormley, and I'm gonna do. I'm gonna channel positive energy.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh.
I'll take it.
And I found my special Roman gold plated dice. So I'm gonna use those again. And
nice.
7. Everybody got 7 points of health.
Gormley shouts, "Thanks, boy."
Boy?
You're welcome, girl.
You're welcome, girl.
Come on, girl.
Oh, shucks.
For the record, Gormley is like 25 years older than Galabras.
Yeah.
So, Galabras, you're still in the back there, kind of with Baron. So, you and Baron, just to describe the scene here, Baron and Galabras are still right where you guys kind of came in. In front of them is the corpse, a decaying corpse of Direwolf. And then in front of them to the right is Lork. And this is like a straight line. Lork, Flood Troll, Gormley, Direwolf. And then back in the cavern on the lower level is Screed.
Just chucking bombs.
Chucking bombs left and rue. Okay, and it is Gormley's turn.
Gormley's going to full withdraw and run. So tell me.
Hold on.
What?
Full withdrawal only allows you to avoid an attack of opportunity
from the
one square you're leaving. On the next square, and then the next square. I don't know if they have combat reflexes, but at least once you'll provoke 2 attacks of opportunity. because you're squeezed up into this. Now you could like...
I was going to run down the stairs.
Yeah, so that's the problem. You would definitely provoke two attacks of opportunity. If you...
Because they're large creatures too.
They have, like, they have their reach.
If you went to like the water side...
Maybe, oh yeah, the water's open.
You could withdraw. If you could run into the water.
Yeah, I'll run into the water.
All right, what is it? Act? Is it like difficult terrain?
Yeah, it's every square of movement is two squares of movement.
If
in the water.
Only I had agile.
If only.
I'd give all right, it to so how could, deep? Girl. How deep do you want to go? You can do a double move. That's all
I'm gonna,
you can do.
Yeah, I'm going to do a double move.
Is that right? You
she moves.
Run out and.
Yeah, I mean that she's in the fledge trolls in melee combat with you, so it's presumably not going to chase me into the water.
I wouldn't think so. Well, the direwolf might, but at least you wouldn't be flanked by a troll and a direwolf anymore.
All right, so Gormley's like, fuck this, runs into the water, and that's what happened. And the direwolf does give chase.
God damn it.
And attempts to bite you, and misses.
Wow.
15. Direwolf just cannot make it happen.
Oof. All right, Gormley.
Round 4. Flood troll.
This episode should be titled Dances with Wolves.
That's not punny. Yeah, that's just actually the situation.
That's not punny at all. Okay, so first claw at Lork. It's doing two claws. First claw, 14, miss.
Miss, off the armor.
Second
off the
claw
breastplate.
Hits. And it does just 4 points of damage. Claw, claw. Second one hits. But a giant troll claw just went ripping across your skin. So yeah, 4 points of damage, oh, that's not bad. But a giant troll claw just ripped across your skin.
Not Lork's first time he's gotten clawed by a troll.
Let's be honest. Now Screed,
that's how your son was born,
has a new target. And it is Baron.
I was going to say, bring on the fire while I'm next to the troll. But I guess he's not that stupid.
Yeah. He ain't no fool. Okay, so he throws a bomb at Baron.
Baron, Baron.
At Baron.
I Kaylin there.
And hits.
Oh, did he roll a 34 or higher?
I rolled a 24. Okay, so he hits Baron for only 6 points of damage, but you got to roll a DC 15 reflex save, as does.
I rolled a 16.
You did it.
All right, Galabras.
How many points did I take? I'm sorry.
Six.
Galabras failed.
Galabras failed and takes 5 points of splash damage. I just love this image of him standing back there just boom, 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 throwing these like glowing blue bulbs. Oh, I didn't even show you a picture of this dude.
He's going to look like the hot
guy. You got to see a picture of this. Again, the artwork. I really should give a shout out on the Twitter to whoever the artist was. I mean, I'm sure they use multiple artists, but maybe not. Maybe they just use one guy because the artwork for this book has been still stellar. Yes, or girls. Girls can draw too.
Woman.
Woman.
Not yet a woman.
Booyah.
Whoa. Oh,
badass, right?
He looks
he's
like,
got like blonde.
Looks
locks.
Like a half orc Brad Pitt.
He looks he looks like he
from
looks
Legends
like,
of the Fall.
He looks like Dolph Lundgren, like dyed his skin green and grew his hair out.
Hemsworth.
Yeah, isn't that badass? He's got blonde locks and he's kind of gangly. He's probably 6'6, but only 200 pounds.
Yeah, I expected him to be like really beefy, like bulky. I didn't know he'd be like a bitch.
Looks like with Noah Syndergaard.
With those facial tattoos and hairy forearms.
Well, I got to tell you, the best way to fight large-sized creatures is to each just take one on yourself. We'll just split,
that's right.
Split up and just
I think
man
that's
to man it.
I think that's in the core rule book. All right, Lork, you're up.
All right, Lork is going to, he's just going to shout back over his shoulder,
Baron Calabrus, take out Screed. I've got the troll.
And he will roll to hit. Power attack. Oh, fuck. 13 to hit.
Does
fuck.
What's your bull strength from all that?
You took the minus to attack, didn't you?
Oh, you know what? Wait.
Power attack, you took the minus.
I did, but I forgot to add 2 for bull strength, I think. Hold on 1 second. Let me just make sure I did.
Also, after my channel, like because I have the luck variance, the round after I channel, everyone who benefited from it gets an additional +1 luck bonus on any attack roll.
Nice.
Wait, are you kidding me? That's insane!
Wait, that's great.
Yeah.
But that's not this round. That's next round? No, that's this round.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's a 15. Yeah.
Well, after you fudged all those numbers, it definitely hits the troll.
Yeah, it's another plus two from bull strength, another plus two from favored enemy. I keep forgetting, the troll's a giant.
You got him. And would you hit him? You're still using the orc double axe that you found during the battle?
The masterwork great axe.
Masterwork great
axe. That was wielded by Urnsel's companion.
Oh, that Incredible Hulk.
In that little alley right before Jasun.
We'll call him the Incredible Skulk.
It's terrible. Terrible.
So you just...
Good one, Troy.
Boom! Well, he's actually a skulking brute in the Pathfinder thing. It's an inside joke with myself. All right, so you bury the axe
I got to do this again. I'm sorry.
I'm canceling the podcast.
It's 14. This is uncalled
it's
for.
It's too much math.
14 because of the power attack, not 15. Sorry.
But wait,
I am sure.
This is all part of your game to find out the exact AC of the fucking flood troll.
But did you count 14, his
13, 12,
no, 11, I didn't count his luck bonus.
9,
so it is 15.
Right,
I hit him. I hit him. Fuck you. I hit him. All right, so it's 17 points of damage.
Oh! And the troll is bloodied.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Now we gotta somehow get fire on him.
All right.
Or put him down.
This music. We may boost the music something. This is huge. I feel like... I think the tenseness in the room is permeating the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sitting here just trying to do math. I'm trying to do so much math right now.
Just to distract yourself from the stakes.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, we got Gormley alone with a direwolf, Lork alone with a giant troll, which, by the way, was an enemy we all fought, just whatever it was, 10, 12 episodes ago. It was a boss battle. And now, Lork's facing it one-on-one. And we have the actual boss... untouched, just throwing things from the cheap seats. This is awful. Awful.
Look at the frog!
All right, Baron, you're up. That was my Waldorf and Statler impression.
I could throw a pell grenade at him and do some fire damage.
Why don't you just get in there and shoot him with your gun?
You can get fire damage, get it on the troll.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about doing fire damage to the troll to keep him down. Okay. I mean, we can wait for Gormley to potentially not get eaten by this wolf.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, I'm going to withdraw again once this is my turn.
Hold? He's going to get up again, is what I'm saying, the troll, after this round, right?
No, he's not down yet.
He's just bloodied.
What does bloodied mean?
It means he's under half hit
on his last legs.
Yeah, so. Getting low.
All right, if you want to handle the troll, I guess I'm going to cross towards dipshit McFace Tats over there wearing Ed Hardy. 20, yeah. And I'm going to...
look at this Mexican standoff here. Screed, bombs in hand, and here comes a tiny dwarf.
He just saunters down the steps. Yeah, you can hear his... what are those things
studded
called?
Leather.
Spurs. His spurs, yeah, his spurs.
Is that a 6?
6.
So I did a plus 7, 13 against touch AC.
Miss.
Brutal.
This guy's the worst.
And this screed just... Nice try. Galabras.
Galabras will... he's going to cast True Strike on himself.
Oh, baby.
Oh, wait, he's an orc. That was one more. Does 14 hit him?
It does not.
All right. I gave it a shot.
And this is where Skid's wait, you also get a plus 7?
Oh, no, and I got the plus one from luck. That's 15.
Yeah.
That's 15 against touch AC.
Miss.
16?
Hate you guys. All right, Gelly.
I cast True Strike.
Oh, you cast True Strike, right. Yeah. So you just... Tell me what happens. You touch yourself, over your insemination wound?
No.
And just boom.
I just close my eyes and concentrate for a moment as I'm pulling out, and as a move action,
just flashes out.
I pull out my crossbow.
Oh, baby! Ow! All right, Gormley.
So, can I get through that? How much of the dam wall was broken when the flood?
10 feet wide.
Where? Right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to full withdraw and get back to Galabras. As close as I can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get all the way there.
Great.
All right. So you fully withdraw. just to be clear, Gormley has run like a woman the past two rounds. Right?
Oh,
just
man.
Just want to make sure that's what Gormley what has done.
After charging headlong into battle, save your sorry asses.
It's just for my notes. I want to make sure I can write. Gormley ran like a girl. Okay. Here comes the direwolf. You can thank Gormley for this.
He's not going to be able to flank me without provoking.
He's not attacking you.
Oh. Well, he's still moving around me to get to that position. He can do. I mean, it's
going to there.
Okay.
And he's attacking Galabras. And again, I can thank Gormley.
Thank you for drawing.
Gormley's the best. She runs right behind Galabras.
She's cowering.
Wolf! She now has cover.
Yeah, she does. She sure does.
But Galabras, I didn't move my mini for the record.
But Galabras is feeling extremely protective now that he's a father.
Shut up. Oh my god.
He goes to bite Galabras and the 12 misses, I'm assuming.
It does.
I don't think my direwolves have done any damage.
I think that he's got some webbing stuck in his teeth.
It's possible.
Yeah, good job, Gormley.
One would hope.
Yeah. One would hope.
But literally, I've failed. All I've done this combat is failed checks, cast a spell that did nothing.
And ran.
And ran.
You're going to have to change your name to Gary the Celestial Dolphin. You're about as effective.
There is water here. You might come back.
Spoiler alert. Okay, round five. Flood Troll. The Flood Troll takes a 5-foot step into the water, letting it wash over him, and then does a double attack on Lork. On Lork the Orc, first attack hits, second attack also, well, you tell me, 19?
That hits.
Okay, let me make sure he doesn't have rend, because that would be awesome. He doesn't.
Oh, thank God. I thought he did have
rend.
Rend is one of those things where if you hit with both natural attacks, it then does like, rips and does extra damage. But I'm not seeing rend here. But that being said, he still does 12 points of damage.
Oh, gosh, what?
God.
And you notice he seems emboldened, having gone back into the water. And it is now Screed's turn. Let's see, this is round five, so
Lork is in rough shape.
Screed throws a bomb directly at Baron.
He's standing right there.
And he hits him.
Brutal.
For 11 points of damage.
Oh, God.
Direct hit. Close range. I mean, Baron knew what he was getting into and just throws it right in his chest.
Yeah,
DC 15
reflex save. I'm not sure
why
I came to...
Reflex save, Baron. DC 15 or you will burst into flames.
Will Baron burst into flames and die a fiery death? Will the Flood Troll regain his strength and claw Lork to shreds? Will Screed get away with murder? There's only one way to find out. Tune in next week to the Glass Cannon Podcast.